You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
You know what, dude?
That chugging sound is the AC in the background that I will shut off when we do this show tonight. Tonight is a special Thursday edition, the extrasode, that's what I call them, extrasodes of the YKW Dude podcast. For you motherfuckers who don't like the Monday one, where we have maybe 4 to 5 to 8 people on, and sometimes it gets a little crazy. They talk over each other. Dude, I'm gone, dude. I've had the last straw. I can't stand talk over each other. It just gets aggravating. Does it
really get that aggravating?
I know it's aggravating. I hear you. But you don't have to send me in. Dude, I'm out. Like you're fucking retiring. Like you're giving, hey, I love you, man, but I just can't do it. Well, fucking, you know what? If you love me, suck it up. Stop it. Stop fucking. I get it. It's annoying. I try to stop it. I got a bunch of young comics in here that are gunning to make you fucking laugh. And sometimes they step over each other. They have a good one and they can't stop. But anywho, that's why I'm doing these Thursday ones. For you. For the people that
I just can't take it, man.
For you. See, it's just one-on-one. Me and my very special guest this evening, Dov Davidoff, very funny man, very smart man, very interesting man, very good-looking man. He's got all the qualities of a big fucking star. we started at the Cellar kind of together. Me, Steve Byrne, Godfrey, Dov, all of us kind of came up at the Cellar together. So he moved to L.A. He's been very successful out there, and, here we are. He's in New York playing Gotham this week, and I'm very excited to have him on the show. I'm very excited, so it should be interesting. So I'll shut the AC off so you don't hear that fucking train chugging in the background. You know, we're going to try to get a new one for that window. It's so big. I don't want to carry it up here. Last time I carried an AC out of a window, I cut my arm open and almost murdered myself. So I will shut that off, and we'll get started. He's coming up in around, 10 minutes. 10 minutos. So sit back in your truck, in your cube, on your train, in your car, on your bus, on your boat. Relax and let us do the talking for the next hour. Me, Dov Davidoff, on the You Know What, Dude podcast. Thank you so much for all your donations. Thanks for subscribing and reviewing on iTunes. And if you haven't done it and you listen to the show right now, do it. Do it tonight. Leave a review. Subscribe. Let people know. Share this with the world. Join the riot, motherfuckers. And make sure you check out all the other shows. We have 12 of the funniest shows. We are the most unique, original network out there. I'll stand by that. We have unbelievable shows. That's right, Mad Scientist Party Hour. My Wife Hates Me. The Jersey Jerks. The Bailey J Show. Live from the Table. Glory Hole. The Davey Mac Sports Program. Jim Florentine. Comedy Metal Midgets. Why You Suck in Bed. Hammer Fisting. Weird Medicine. And we're adding more shows to come. Even fucking just great. Great shows coming to the network this year. And all because of you guys. Support all the shows, and you support our sponsors like tweakedaudio.com, 33% off if you use the code word DUDE when you check out of any headphones. Buy 5. Buy 5. Buy 3. Buy 10. Give them out for Christmas as presents. Spend fucking $50. Get 33% off. That's more than not half. Figure that out. Gamefly.com, the Netflix of gaming, also has a deal with us. Gamefly.com/YKWD. Free 2 weeks. Games. Cancel whenever you want. Check that out if you're a gamer. And Amazon. You buy stuff off Amazon, which I did. Buy everything off of Amazon. There's no reason not to. It shows up 2 days later. It's always cheaper. Use our Amazon link on our page. Go to riotcast.com, Robert Kelly, and we have a little link. Use that. You help our show. You help the network. You guys are great. Thanks for listening to this bullshit. I have to say it. I have to. And that's it. Enjoy the show. A one-on-one for you motherfuckers. For you dudes. And don't forget, man, I'm going to be in Montreal. Montreal. Comics at the end of the month at Foxwoods. Hoorah. It's actually today. Albeit not today. When is it? I don't know when it is. But anyways, I'm going to be at Montreal Comedy Festival. Please go to justforlaughs.com. Type my name in a search. And I'm doing my 2 one-hour shows. So come to those. Spread the word. Take a ride. If you live up in Buffalo, cruise over, man. Come see my show. It's going to be awesome. I'm doing the You Know What Dude podcast up there. I already booked Pete Corelli, Colin Quinn. We got a few other people that are going to be on the show. And I also have my gala show, and I have another show coming out that I'm not going to tell you about yet, but it's a surprise. So please go to justforlaughs.com, do a search on my name, and buy tickets to my shows. It'd be great. You guys are awesome. Thanks a lot. I'm done. That's a 6-minute intro. I know, it was a lot, but Dove Davidoff should be showing up. I'm just stalling right now. He should be showing up any minute, so let's get this fucking going, shall we? All right, here we are. A very special episode. You know what, dude? One-on-one Thursday episode. These are the extra episodes that I do.
Oh, Thursday? Oh, good.
Yeah, well, you know, it was... we have Monday episodes where come out, but I have like 5 to 8 people on. Sometimes it gets a little too fucking nuts.
Yeah, it seems a little... Can you follow everybody when you're listening?
Well, it's me telling people to shut the fuck up a lot.
That's enjoyable. That's got its own value. I enjoy that. I enjoy listening to you, dope. Shut the fuck up.
And then I started doing these because it's a little toned down, a little less...
Well, it's different, right? I mean, you can really talk to somebody and have that space, and you don't have somebody chiming in, and it becomes less of a bit festival, and you can actually talk to somebody.
Yeah, sometimes it gets a little bitty, which, look, sure. I love...
Which can be good, too.
It can be hilarious, yeah. But, sure. You know, there's always that, you know... I started off with this on my iPhone.
Right.
You know,
on the iPhone.
Yeah, you should take my iPhone out and record, like, sit down at a coffee shop or wherever the fuck I was.
And then you'd upload that?
You just upload that.
Great.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, now... Yeah. Fucking here you go.
No, I love it, man.
We got a friend of mine. You guys know, of course you know. And if you don't know, I think you're an asshole. No.
You're a bad person.
You're a bad person. Yeah. Dove Davidoff.
Yes, sir.
From originally from, where are you from, dude?
Jersey originally.
Me and you, Godfrey, Steve Byrne.
Sure, yeah.
That was kind of us who started at the Cellar.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think I came a little bit after you guys. Me and Steve came after you guys.
Yeah, like I came in. It's the weird thing is I came in with this, you know, I came, Patrice, Billy, Dane.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys I came up with
Yeah.
from Boston. Yeah. Then we all came kind of here. I was the last one to make it here from Boston.
Right.
But then when I came here, you know, everybody was here.
Yeah.
You know, Norton. Then we kind of bonded with Norton and Voss and Robinson. And then... Yeah.
You found the most fucked up people you could find, and then you bonded.
Just terrible. Right. But here's the thing is, though, and then my kind of class, I mean, those are my guys, but then it was kind of me, you, Godfrey, Steve. Those,
sure, yeah.
We were the ones that kind of, Corielli.
Yeah, night in, night out, man.
Night in, night out, every fucking day of the week.
Every day.
But you didn't have like a, you came in, where the fuck did you come from?
Well, I mean, I was hitting clubs in the city, you know. I just, by the time I broke in, I mean, then it was every 7 days a week after that, you know, for the following 7 years before I took off to L.A. But I had been, you know, I've been trying to break in for a few years, right? I mean, at the Boston and then uptown and going
where
to
were,
the strip
like,
and
where
going
were
on.
You? Where were
I
you
started
in Jersey?
In New York. Well, did you? I grew up in a junkyard in Jersey.
A junkyard.
Yeah.
Can you explain, in my head, I see a junkyard. I see a big metal gate. I see a dog barking.
Yeah, it's all true.
I see all kinds of shit.
It's a dirt lot. Yeah, it's a dirt lot with about 7 acres of bullshit on it with crushed cars. My father was this uneducated Jewish business guy from the Bronx, and my mother was a hippie intellectual wasp that was wrapped up on a commune, and then that's where I lived until I moved to the city when I was about 16, 17. 17.
But was it weird? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
Both, man. I had
Did you
awful...
get pussy?
No, man, not when I was a kid. Well, I had a horrendous experience in... when I was a kid, and by the time I was in high school, I had that kind of, I gained a degree of popularity by way of just sort of people were fearful to get involved with me because I was a little nutty and I was a sort of bad, you know. So it eliminated the idea of feeling like I was in danger, but then I was just in danger for myself, you know.
So you gained popularity by being almost like fucking crazy.
A little bit, yeah, because, I was really I on the outside as a kid. The school bus used to pick me up in front of the junkyard. My mother was a real freak, and she was on this, you know, commune, and I couldn't explain that to the people I was around. It was horrible.
How old were you at this point?
It was really awful. This was from the time I was born. I remember thinking about ending my life at a relatively early age.
You were born in a junkyard?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's where I grew up. Yeah, yeah, from the time I was born.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was a little wacky.
Yeah. How the fuck, out of all the cocksuckers with lives that they made shows out of, you know, fucking, my dad was a ski instructor. Yeah, all the horseshit they've done, how come they haven't done your show, dude?
I think it's possible, but it'd probably have to be done on some sort of cable thing. You know, a guy like, what's it, like, I'm forgetting his name, but he had the really dysfunctional family on Fox. He was the first one to have that sort of, you know, he got, you know what I'm talking about, Northern California guy, you know him. Titus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Titus sort of had one.
Yeah,
of
but I never bought it.
Like,
I never bought it because his hair was.
AC up?
Yeah, go ahead. Is it too hot?
It's hot.
All right, it's because you're from L.A.
Well,
yeah,
it's some part of it.
You like that dry heat? Go ahead, turn it on. It makes a fucking train sound during the show. Nice how quiet it is right now.
Should I move mics?
No, go ahead. Right. No, you're fine over there. It's fine. They can deal with the
noise. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
But
yeah, it was awful, man. It was awful. And then
I never trusted that Titus guy though, because he looked his hair. Yeah. He didn't like you. If you tell me you had a fucked up life, I'm buying it. I'm buying it. I'm seeing you on stage. One arm has tattoos. One doesn't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have a fucking all black on. Yeah, your head shaved. It doesn't need to be. You know what I mean?
Not. Maybe not. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Your eyes are going fucking up and down.
they dart around the room.
Yeah. This guy looked like Max Headroom.
You were probably a lot like that, right? Until you really started to get next to yourself.
You know what I realized at 42? What? I just had my son last week. Yeah. I was abused, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just a fucking abused. Mm-hmm. I was tortured. Yeah. You know, I wasn't raped or, you know,
no,
I'm talking
psychologically, yeah.
Physically, too. I was beat up. I'm looking at my son now, and I always look at, like, kids in the first grade, second grade, and I remember getting punched.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like? I couldn't imagine hitting an adult male hitting a kid like that and knocking him downstairs and screaming at him.
Well, luckily you've done enough work on yourself to not be able to imagine that. But I couldn't imagine. So many you run into people and it's like, and unfortunately, the kinds of things that often, you know, the components that result in a relatively funny perspective or personality are often very negative. You know,
there's no comedy. It's all tragedy.
You know, it's all tragedy. And, you know, it's just.
But there's the people that learn how to write a joke. And you can, know who they are.
Yeah, you can write a joke, sure.
You know who they are. But then there's the guys that are trying to fucking
reconcile their existence.
Yes.
You know, you're trying to make it okay.
And
you can't, but this is as close as you get.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know? And so you do it. I mean, what else are you gonna do?
You're gonna do is you're gonna fucking blow your brains out.
You know,
or become that guy.
Smoking crack to forget about it, and then you end up killing yourself.
Do you ever smoke crack?
No. I'm really lucky in that I've never had I don't know. I guess I could be a little bit compulsive in certain areas, but not really addictive.
What was the worst drug you've ever done?
Worst drug. I mean, I don't know. I mean, powder cocaine doesn't seem like such a big deal anymore. But
gum. they have fucking energy drinks at truck stops that are fucking worse than cocaine.
I know. Those 5-hour energy drinks. Like 5 hours. Yeah. Dude, just do some blow. You'll be up for a half hour, and then you'll be fucking start to relax after that. No heroin. No.
But you're drinking,
no,
though. You like to drink.
But I was never a big drinker. I could never drink that much. But I certainly know what it's like to have some emptiness that you can't really get, you can't really fill, you know? Yeah. And so it's been challenging. I've been writing about, you know, trying to run back to the hotel room after a gig, you know? I mean, it's midnight, you're at peak energy levels, and what are you going to do, go to a fucking library, you know? You got to figure out a way to ride that wave, you know, without hurting yourself.
Well, here's the thing. I remember one night, I'm in L.A. I'm at my favorite hotel on the Sunset Strip. Yeah. And this little boutique place right across from the store. And it's 3 a.m. and I see this big, big fucking blonde fucking fat chick in a dress.
Sure, yeah.
And then I see you next door.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
I see you.
Was she a prostitute?
I don't know, dude. I just see you see me, and then you tried to literally hail a cab. It's L.A., too.
I
it's
wonder like, what was going on. Then.
And then I went.
I remember you told me that. I wonder what was going on.
You go like this. This is what you did. You come up to me. You tried to fucking get. You tried to get a cab, and I was like, Dove. I go, Dove, come here. And you go. You kind of shook your head like cocksucker. You got me. Yeah. All right. Then you walk up. Right. Hey, you got to do what you got to do, Bob. You know what I mean? It's 3 a.m. You got to do what you got to do.
And then
you got a cab and you fucking
you
left.
What you got to do. I listen. I think part of it. I wouldn't be embarrassed to do it in front of you. I think part of it was I didn't want it. I think she was maybe one of, you know, those chicks that you meet late at night are crazy enough to go back to your place right away and fuck you and never talk again, but usually the kind of people you don't want to have in a group full of other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of girl. It's like, oh, great. If Bobby stops and I say hi, she's not going to shut up. And then I've got another half hour to kill before the safe self-hatred festival begins back at my place, you know. It's a mess.
I tell you, when I used to go to these parties, comic, whatever it was, and I would always find that weird girl in the corner on her phone. Just not the hot ones. I'd leave away. I fuck it. I don't want nothing to do with you.
Well, it's about session quality. I mean, if you're looking to make it happen that night, if you're a real professional and you're looking to make something happen that night,
right.
you're not gonna hop about, you know, trying to make conversation with a girl, exchange numbers, and then maybe catch a movie 7 days from that point on. No, you got to solve the pain immediately.
Yeah, I want to get the chick that has one eye bigger than the other. Yeah. In the corner, that's going to be
got
fucking.
Kind of nice ass.
Yeah, she's got a slam. Usually they have
great.
Crazy bodies.
What more do you need? I don't make a lot of eye contact in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, you usually get those broads back in the room, and oh, yeah, I do gymnastics since I was 10.
Her fucking cunt
is tighter than a nickel.
Sure.
You know, So.
And they grew up as awfully as you did and then actually want to show you moves, you know?
Yeah, you,
there's
I remember,
no sense of entitlement.
You, before I bought my place in the city, you had your place.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
were one of those guys. You and Greg Fitzsimmons were one of the guys, two of the guys that actually made me go, I need to get, this is a goal, man. I need to have a pad. I need to own property in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And I need to, because I remember he had one, and I was like, oh, my God, that's so, what a great unattainable, attainable goal.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then I remember your pad was just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and it was in that neighborhood, you know, where everybody's milling around. It was like being in
the East Village, and you had this crazy pad with this insane deck.
And you'd
bring people up there, and there was, all of a sudden you'd see a chick, and then the chick would be gone.
Yeah.
And you'd be gone.
Yeah.
And then some other chick would be gone. It was just
this.
And then people were in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was swinger light, you know?
Yeah.
It was swingery.
Yeah, not there was everybody didn't just get naked.
But
you could open a door and be like, oh shit.
That was a jumping off point for getting naked at one point in the evening, you know.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of swingers come back to the house one time and they all started, you know, doing their thing. I was having I don't know, but it was interesting.
You had David Lee Roth living above you, too.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was at his...
I still remember the girl, the swinger. I don't know if I told you that she came. I was having a threesome in the bedroom at that time, but I just came out to get some water.
Right.
And then she walked up, and she goes, oh, thanks for having us over. Would you like a blowjob? And I was like, you know... Finally, somebody who knows how to treat a host. I mean, let's kick this thing off.
Did she suck your dick?
No. I could. My girlfriend at the time would have seen that as offensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I wasn't having a threesome with strangers. I was having a threesome with my girlfriend and another girl. So if I snuck off to get water and she found me getting ahead from yet another, you know, it would be a mess.
I don't get that. I don't get the rules. That's why I never got that. I'd rather cheat.
No, yeah, no, I certainly enjoy, you know, a clandestine heat, you know, but it's, I tried to, we had met in a, in a threesome. You know?
Yeah, but here's the thing, dude. You this is what flipped me out about you, and I could never do that. First of all, I never had the self-esteem to do that.
What are you talking about? You were a real ladies, man. I remember.
I'll tell you what it was. I watch girls. I would let chicks blow my friends.
Yeah.
But it was all psycho crazy shit from growing up that women will fuck you over.
Yeah.
So it was almost like me saying, proving to myself that, hey, I want you to suck my friend's dick. No, I don't want. And then they do it. You like that? I do like it. Yeah. You fucking pig.
It's
I knew
so
you were
funny,
a fucking pig.
Right. That early abuse rewires your experience of things in such a way that you continue to play it out. I mean, that's the nature of dysfunction, right? That's why most people don't break out of the cycle.
It just something. I mean, still, I find it fucking smoking hot. There's something hot about your chick fucking.
Oh, yeah. People are into whatever. It just depends on the degree to which you're into it. If you can't get off if your girl isn't fucking somebody else in the other room, then that becomes an issue.
Yeah, that's the problem with me is that I never wanted to go. I never thought I could. If I saw my chick fucking you.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't.
And I'm banging your chick.
Yeah.
But your
been my thing. Though.
I would have been like, ah, man.
Yeah.
This fucking and if I saw her give you an eye or a look that she's never given me.
No, it's too weird.
Like
it's
if I heard awkward. Her go, oh God.
Right, yeah. She hit a pitch. she hit a note that you hadn't heard. You're like, wait a second.
And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, anything?
Yeah. No. Nothing. I can't get your voice as high as he did, you little motherfucker.
I'd be mad. Yeah, dude. I'd be mad. If I seen her, if I seen you like as you penetrate and then clasp hands
right,
and do some fucking vampire shit that
up high.
And then I tried to do it, and she kind of pulled away. I don't like that. Yeah. Oh, I'd fucking murder her.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, which is part of it. I mean, I'm like that, too, which is why I was never a real swinger.
Is it a disconnect or a confidence to be able to let your girl... You never let your girl fuck around with another guy.
No. Oh, no.
See, I know guys who've done that.
Oh, no, lots of guys did that. My brother had been to swing clubs where, I mean, him and his buddy tapped this girl, and then her husband came up and he said, thank you very much. You know, last month for her birthday, she had sex with eight guys, something like that.
Well, happy birthday.
I was going to say. Well, happy birthday. Yeah. No, it's a hell of a guy. You couldn't just take her out for a quiet meal and some candlelight?
I'll tell you the hottest thing that's ever happened. I was at a club. And I had a line. I was selling CDs or posters or some shit after the show, doing merch, which I hate doing.
Yeah,
I feel like an elixir salesman.
Yeah, of course. You know,
just go buy
it. I'll pick it up. You got a computer, right?
So I, this girl comes, hot blonde.
Yeah.
Not milfy, but like in between young and old.
I like
probably 33.
Yeah, like a ripe. That's when it's ripe.
Mm.
Yeah.
She comes up, whispers in my ear, I think you're so funny. I'd love to suck your cock.
Tremendous.
And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. I'm literally signing an autograph for some fucking fat dude.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then she goes, my husband's here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. She goes, is there any way we can go to the green room if you're cool with him watching? And my dick went, ding!
Oh, yeah. See, I think a real swinger could have been turned on by that. I'm just like, I'm built like you in that way. I would not have done it.
I did it.
Oh,
no,
you did it.
No,
oh,
my dick shot through the roof of my mouth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not like that. But, but
I went back into the room.
That's great.
The green room. Her husband was in the corner. Like, I made him go in the corner. I go, dude, I'm not sucking dick.
Yeah, I want you next to me. We're not going to hold hands while she does it.
I'm not grabbing you. I'm not fucking holding your nuts.
Yeah, no, this ain't about me and you.
She gave me the most fucking exotic blowjob I've ever got. Took her tits out. I combed. And he watched, and I was like, fucking wow.
It's amazing, right?
What a nice couple, too. They've come back years after and say, hey, Bobby, great show, and then they leave because they want none, because now I'm bald and fat and married.
Yeah, but I've met swing couples that are, you know, they have a different conception of, you know, sexuality or whatever it is that they enjoy. If they're the kinds of people, if they're not killing themselves in other ways and that's how they get off once in a while, I don't have any judgment for it, man. I don't relate to it, but I don't have any wild judgment.
There's not really, this chick was hot.
Her
husband was a good-looking guy.
Are, sure. Yeah.
But I've never seen good-looking ones. I've been to swinger parties.
No, you just haven't been to the right party then. They're there. They're out there. I've seen them.
Now,
a lot of them, if you go to Le Trapeze, if you go to the place...
What is it called?
Le Trapeze. if you go to a lot of the places that are like just the establishments that are there all the time,
right?
It's no different than certain nightclubs, right? There are certain floating demographics that go to places and like that's the place you want to get into if you're looking for that.
Yeah, you're looking for chunky Spanish girls.
Yeah, if you're looking for
kids.
A good buffet and extra towels, you know, then you're not gonna find what you would be looking for.
Right.
You know, I mean, But there's on-premise and off-premise.
But I mean, look, here we are now, years later.
Yeah.
I just had a kid. Yeah. I'm in love with this kid. I'm in love with my wife.
That's great.
I
envy that scenario.
Where are you at now, dude?
Oh, God. Psychologically, emotionally.
Well, with chicks, do you have a girl?
You know, I kind of, man, but I we just kind of broke up, and we're still talking. We're trying to make it work.
You seem like every time I see you, dude, you're either you're breaking up with a chick or you just met a chick.
Yeah, you know, that's been yeah. I mean,
but you're such a fucking
pattern,
dude. You're a great look. You're one of the best looking dudes I know. You're funny.
I know the well, you know, but
you're interesting.
But
you're smart.
Stuff never goes away. This is not about the sort of inability to sort of get somebody to talk to you at a bar as much as it is the ability to sustain a relationship, which means being able to exhibit vulnerability and not allow the walls of your own psychology to prevent intimacy.
What
you
is
know
it?
All this shit.
I know, dude. But what is it? Dude. I know all this shit.
Yeah.
But what do you want, dude? What do you want, really?
Are
you happy?
Ultimately, peace of mind. No.
Are you happy with
happiness? Has always been a.
Do you
a,
want
a
kid?
Struggle, a struggle for me. I don't intellectually connect or viscerally connect with the idea of having a child as much as I think about it. Intellectually going, I think that it would be sort of unfortunate if you were to live, you know, this life without ever having experienced that. I feel like that would be unfortunate. So if I can find somebody that I think I have a shot at a sustainable scenario while working on myself, then I would do it.
Do you believe in marriage?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I believe, I mean, not in a definitive sense, you know, like it's the right thing for everybody, but I believe in it if the objective is to have a kid. You know, I mean, like anything else, if you're going to make a choice, the other door's closed, and that's part of becoming an adult, right? I mean, dealing with the door that closes, going, so I'm not going to hang out till 4 a.m. at a fucking club looking to bang some chick.
Do you still do that?
Like, of course.
Ah, shit, dude.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I don't.
I think
enjoy
the AC
it.
Just died.
That's all right. I don't enjoy it like I used to.
It's weird, right? Like, it's like drinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like once you know,
sure.
they say in AA, once you know about it, it ruins your drinking.
Ruins the high.
Yeah, because you know what you just did was some shit that you know what's behind it.
You know what's there.
Yeah.
You know it's empty, and now that you're aware of the fact that you've had failed relationships and you're doing it to fill some psychological hole that you need to examine otherwise, it's like it's just a reminder. You know, when I wake up, I got a phone call from this girl. I mean, this is a while ago, but you know, it was just one of those things where the idea of that lifestyle crystallized. I got a Facebook message the next day. I hooked up with this girl on Saturday night. I left Seattle Sunday, and I got a Facebook message from this girl that says, "Did you find a pair of black tights in your luggage?" She had to call her girlfriend, wrap a towel around herself in order to get out of the hotel because early in the morning, I thought I was being gentlemanlike, and I packed her tights away in my luggage, not realizing that they were pants. They just look like a T-shirt when they're lying on the floor. So I packed my shit and ran out. I took her pants.
That's fucking brilliant.
You know, and it's just, and I forgot, and I didn't know her name. You know, and I'm thinking back, like, I don't know her name. I took her pants. It's just sad.
Did you keep them or throw them out?
Throw them in the drawer. You never know what other chicks can do.
You're a fucking ass.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. You moved to LA how long ago?
And I really want to move back, man. It's just trying to.
Well, how long did you move?
Seven years ago.
Yeah. And you're out in where? Where's your house?
In Venice Beach.
You bought in Venice. I thought you were in Silver Lake.
I was, but I ended up selling that place and I moved to some place where I could walk to a store. You know,
right.
Venice.
Venice is crazy, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's depending on where you're at. There are things within walking distance, unlike a lot of LA. So
yeah,
I want it to be someplace like that. You know, and the weather's a little cooler.
It is.
Bicycle around.
I found a place in I remember in Venice. It was right on the beach, third floor. The deck was the size of a one bedroom.
Used to live right around there. Were you ever over at that house? Like up there and those towards the.
Over right near him.
Yeah.
This place was.
A little bungalow.
I went, and it was $1,250 a month for this one bedroom right on the fucking ocean.
Yeah.
You woke up every day, your bedroom was looking over the ocean, and $1,250 a month, which was only $250 more than I was paying. And I had to race down to get this place. And I didn't get it. They fucked me out of it. And I was so mad. I wanted to live on the beach so bad because it was New Yorky.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Relative to the rest of L.A.
There's a little fucking danger.
Yeah, yeah, there was an edge, but it's still kind of hip. And you go down to Abbot Kinney and there's boutiques, but it's not too vanilla. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, cool.
Yeah.
No, no, it's if you got to live in L.A., that's the place to live.
But the only thing that sucked about it is that all the clubs were fucking...
Yeah, you got to drive a half hour, get anywhere.
Half hour, you know, in traffic, all that shit, and doing auditions, sucked
audition
the dick.
During the day, if you got to go to Burbank, leave 3 fucking hours to get back and forth. It's
yeah.
a mess.
It's a fucking nightmare.
I'm telling you, it's a mess, man.
But... I don't miss that shit. And I you know what I missed? I know that the weather sucks here. I know the snow and the rain and the fucking heat. And
I think the rest of the life compensates for it, man. You know what I can't stand? The pace in LA. I can't stand leaving 5 feet of space online at Starbucks with some goofball taking his time to order and doesn't approach the register even though I'm waiting behind him because he's looking to determine what kind of frappuccino he wants. It drives me out of my mind. My old car, I burnt out the horn.
Really?
I burnt it out. The horn died. I laid on the horn so much it died. And then people can't. It's like they relate. It's a different culture. You know, they relate to the, like, I beep a horn and it's a personal offense to whoever's in front of me. It's not meant to be that. If I'm falling asleep at a red light, beep me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, get the fuck out of the way, stupid.
Get the fuck out of the way. I'm not trying to offend your mother. Get out of the way. Just go.
Get off your phone and go.
Just go, man. That's all. Yeah. And I really miss that. I miss being able to speak how I speak. I miss being able to sort of volume wise. I can wave my hands here. Nobody thinks I'm about to flip out. It's just I'm just talking. You know, and out there, there's this. Hey, bro. Hey, man. You okay, bro? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fucking okay. I'm not okay now that you're asking me if I'm okay. You fucking goofball. Take your sandals off. Put on a pair of hard shoes. And become a man.
And what about the stage time? I mean, is enough stage time out there
at this point? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have good relationships with all the clubs. You know,
so you can get on.
Yeah.
But do you wanna? Like, there's something about here.
Depends on how. No.
There's something about here that I know that I can jump on a train or get in a cab and be at a club in 5 minutes and get on stage and then go somewhere else. Yeah. And in L.A., it was like, I have to. Okay.
I also like walking the street at night with a notebook or riding the train. I don't want to get back in my car, man. It
fucking
feels,
blows.
Yeah.
It's like L.A. You're at your home. It's around, you know, the sun's setting. It's cool. You were out all day doing shit, whatever, working out or going to Runyon or doing something stupid. I don't want to go because I don't want to sit there. I know who's going to be. I'll probably get bumped by fucking Adam Sandler.
It's always something. But it's like, I mean, depending on how much you're on the road, you know, that'll lessen your incentive to head into Hollywood to go to a club, you know?
Yeah.
I've been on the road a lot, man.
Yeah, you come home on fucking Monday.
Yeah.
You got to go out on Wednesday. Yeah. It's like, why?
I'm not going.
I'm out. I'm done. But in New York, there's something about, fuck it, I'll just get on the cellar.
Well, part of the reason I end up at a club in L.A. is just because I'm lonely.
Wow.
I just get lonely, you know? So
wow.
I just get.
Who do you live with?
Just me.
You live alone on the beach?
Yeah.
You don't have a dog?
Nah. I
can't keep
a dog alive on the road 30 weeks a year.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah. But it's, you know, listen, I mean, you know, it could be a lot worse. It's just, I'm looking to move back, but... There's an opportunity cost for me at this point. You know?
Why?
It's like, there are things out there I've had going for a while, off and on. You know.
Who's your management?
Principato Young, a guy named Joel. Say
who's
that?
That?
Now. You know Principato. They handle a lot of people.
Right.
They're a big management company out there. Yeah. I left 3 Arts a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was great that I love that I found... Here I found, you know, Apostle Pictures, Films, TV, whatever the fuck, Productions.
Yeah.
They started a management group, and I love those guys over there, Leary and, you know, but the Saletti and Bardo, but, you know, Jim Serpico, I've always been a fan of. He's such a fucking great producer, director, writer, and those guys. And when they started, I was like, oh, God, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God the management out here. And then they opened up an office in L.A., so they're out there too, but they produce shit.
Yeah.
They have a production company behind them.
Yeah, you just need to be, you know, it's about being in the mix and being around.
I love that shit, though. It's like, it's not you're a manager. He called me up, let's shoot this thing.
Great.
All right, let's go, just shoot it for Facebook.
Yeah, and the problem is I've developed like relationships like that in L.A., and if I'm not there, it's like, you know, they can't fly you out to, you know, sit you before a door every time. You know, sure, once in a while, but it's like... And so you're just trying to do the math. You want to find out, you know, how aggravated
there's
it
so
is.
There's so many shows here, though.
Yeah,
there's so many fucking shows. There's 25 shows filming in New York now.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
I mean, in my eyes, yeah. Dove, I mean, I thought you'd be in a fucking on a show, a New York cop show or a detective type thing on,
I know, it always
on
felt
a network.
That felt uncomfortable. I mean, I was. That's how I ended up a Planet Detective on NBC. That's
what was that show? With who?
It was Rains with Jeff Goldblum, and it was a series. And then we got pulled off the air, and then I had another pilot the next year. And you know the game. You know, I've done a bunch of TV. It's just whether or not the series pops or something goes or you get on at the right time. Who the fuck knows? You know?
But I you should definitely be in a fucking series. You should definitely be on a show.
Yeah, I mean, I just did another pilot. It was my own pilot, you know, for Fox.
What was it called?
It was called Peace of Mind.
Was it about you?
Yeah, yeah. It was about my mother. And
so you shot a show like the? Mm-hmm.
I shot a show, but we're not. It's not going, you know. And so,
Jesus.
Which is the name of the game, right? I mean, you can't, you know, that's what it is. But it's but wrote it and EP'd it and shot it and so.
That's what Louis told me. Like, because I shot a pilot last year that I was so psyched about. It was the dream,
sure.
You know, undercover warrant police in New York in the Bronx.
Yeah.
I literally could take a cab to work.
Totally.
And I was on a show, The 2-2, before that,
which
I literally walked home from fucking Chelsea Pierce. Yeah. I'd go in, I'd jump into a uniform, go into my dressing room, shoot some scenes.
That's right.
I was with some great actors. I've always, I mean, just fucking admired.
Yeah, man. It's fun, and when it works.
You know the guy from 3 O'Clock High? Three o'clock high. The bully. My money. He's gonna get his ass kicked by the bully.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was on it.
Yeah,
I forget his name. Casey.
Nah,
I think his name.
It's nice when you get to a job that fits and you get to work.
They're
with
fucking. It's like all that of a sudden you're there, and you're getting the money and you're working and you're like, oh, thank. And then really something happened.
It's almost like we got to adjust. I mean, I think Alec Baldwin once said, you know, when something works, it's essentially a mistake, meaning it's an exception to the rule if it works. You just can't accept, you can't expect it to.
Right.
Expect it not to work. Doesn't mean don't show up and do your job. It just means, don't think it's going, because even if it goes, it's not going that long. They just don't, mathematically. Yeah, every now and then there's the one. You know,
100 episodes.
Yeah, but that's not. That's
well, Louis actually told me, he actually explained it to me. Because when that show didn't get picked up, the Bronx Warrants, I was so bummed out. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And he was like, look, I had a pilot that I wrote that they bought that didn't get made. Then I had a pilot that I wrote with somebody.
Yeah, everybody's
they made
story,
it.
Man. Yeah.
And then I had a show that they picked up, and it went one season. They canceled it. Then I had another show that they picked up, and now that's Louis.
Yeah,
it took him four years to get his show.
Yeah.
It's a long fucking time, 4 years.
It's in Texas.
But it's not in this fucking business.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know.
And what about your stand-up, dude? What do you have an hour CD out?
Yeah, I have a hour special, a Comedy Central special, then a CD, and I'm doing another hour.
With Comedy Central?
Soon. I don't know, man. We did the last one independently and licensed at Comedy Central, and we did relatively well. But it's
who was it with?
We'll do another one. I did an episode of Law and Order, and they had the guy that runs the show. He's David Kelly's partner. He had a production company, and so that's how we financed it, and then ran it through those guys, and then licensed it. So we own it.
That's so fucking weird, man. That's such a weird connection.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah,
David Kelly's
so
partner.
So many things are like that, though, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so random. I mean, this guy knew this guy. You said hi to this guy. The only thing you control is the work, so you just keep doing the work.
You're good at that, though. You're good at connections. You're good at...
Nah, I'm not that good at it.
Nah, dude, you're better than me at schmoozing.
Yeah, but that doesn't make me good. It just makes me better than you.
Yeah, you're not a snail. You're not like an L.A. snail guy, but you can
talk to him, yeah.
Yeah, you can... You have... I mean...
I'll talk to him.
You can shoot.
I can also
the shit.
Talk to him because I'm not a fan in the sense. I could be a fan of somebody's work, but for me, people on television, I didn't grow up with television. So for me, when people are talking about, you know, celebrities, but I've never had that energy because it's not in me.
What do you mean you didn't grow up with television?
I didn't grow up with a lot of television. You know, a lot of guys grew up watching whatever, The Tonight Show. They wanted to get through comedy. They saw this guy, they saw that guy. I've never had that.
So you did because you were on a junkyard.
Yeah, my mother was a hippie. You know, we had, you know, a little shitty television with four channels on. I've never, I don't have any connection with the exception of Miami Vice. I remember wanting to be a homicide cop. I remember wanting to be a vice cop. That was the only thing I ever wanted to be. But but in terms of, you know, like these guys that grow up, someone's like a movie presence, a celebrity presence in their life. I don't have that.
It's funny that I'm going through this right now because I grew up in front of a TV.
Yeah.
I have a TV. I can't watch dinner without TV.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I can't sit down without fucking turning that thing on. I'm sitting with my kid,
with
my fucking week old kid, and I'm looking into his little slate blue eyes, and I'm like, I had to shut the TV off. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah. You see the reflection of Reservoir Dogs bouncing off your kid's eyes.
Yeah, but I'm like, look at this fucking motherfucker.
Sure.
I'm never gonna get this. Is a very short window. And do
capitalize
I don't want him.
Sure.
It's like I almost want to unplug these fucking things.
Totally.
Get a theater and just watch movies.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, for a year and a half, I shut my TV off entirely, and I had DVDs lying around.
When was that?
You know, a couple of years ago.
And that was a choice.
3 years. Yeah, it was a choice. Sure.
Why?
Yeah.
Why did you make that choice?
Because I found myself drawn to it in a way that I wasn't in control of, and I was alone. So, and I had, you know, emotional issues, and so I would go home and just put it on just to not be with myself, you know. And so I thought, I thought I had to put something in there, it would mean that I would have to make an effort to choose something and put it in. I'd have to actually want to watch something, you know, and as opposed to just putting it on as a default.
I'll tell you what I do. I go to bed. I have this little, mount.
Yeah.
It's a flex mount.
Yeah.
I have, it's for an iPad mini.
Yeah.
And I go home at night and on my bed, I have my iPad mini. I slip it in here.
Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'll watch these TV programs.
Well, Netflix is better than watching regular TV, right?
It's not now because they have, you can watch a
whole
season in a
episode.
Night.
Yeah, all of them. Fuck that. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with my wife and my kid is in bed.
Sure.
I got my two dogs. I'm a father now.
Yeah.
I have a family, like a legitimate Kelly family.
Yeah, the real deal, yeah.
And I created a life.
Yeah.
And I'm watching a show called Eureka.
Yes.
That got canceled.
I know.
About a fucking sheriff in a
all been there.
Weird town. What am I doing?
We've all been there. I know.
And
everybody's wired in, man. I mean, it's I don't know what kind of, you know, sort of macro effect it's going to have on people's lives, but it's probably not good. I mean, you're not relating to the people, you know, in a close, intimate way if you're staring at a fucking screen.
This is what I've been trying to do, and I don't know if this you might tell me to go fuck off with this.
Yeah.
I try to wake up now and put it right on CNN or New York One News.
Yeah.
I try to put the TV on news.
Yeah.
During the day. I only watch news.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
I have a TV in my bathroom, brother. When I take a shower, I have a bench with 5 shower heads.
Hilarious.
And a television.
Hilarious.
So I can watch television while
your
I take a shower.
60 seconds.
Your showers last 60 seconds?
Maybe 2 minutes.
What are you, the military?
No, I get in and out. It's like, just like jerking off. I don't luxuriate in that stuff. I don't enjoy it. I've got an objective. I go. That's it. In and out. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's certainly the lesser of a number of evils, man. You're doing really well relative to the psychological background that you have had to endure. You know, it's like you beat the odds already. So, you know, if the guilty pleasure is having to fucking tube on a lot, you know, and
I don't know if I want my kid to be that, though. I think I want my kid to...
Of course you don't want the kid to be that.
I don't want my kid to fucking play Xbox. I don't want my kid to watch TV. I think I want my kid to paint.
Yeah, you want to limit it. My ex-girlfriend went to the Waldorf school, and they didn't watch any TV, and they played only with wooden blocks. There was no plastic, wacky toys with things. So people like that grew up with a more reasonable sort of perspective on even entertainment and all. You know, when you see some girl that blew a rapper because they saw him on television, it wasn't somebody that went to the Waldorf school. It was somebody that, you know, grew up with fucking MTV.
Yeah,
with
VH1,
parents that weren't around and sat him in front of a television. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing
to look
up to.
Is that why I blew a rapper?
probably. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's a bullshit culture in a lot of ways. So you got to try and pick and choose the places. That
it's only
sense.
I mean, I can only imagine the phone my kid's going to have.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I mean, think about the phone I have.
Yeah.
I shot.
It's going to be a phone / teleportation device.
Dude, I shot like a half hour television show on my iPhone.
Yeah.
I edited it on the phone and then I had it up on the Internet and 1,000 people viewed it within a fucking day. Yeah. I mean, what the fuck is that?
Well, the landscape is changing, man. I don't think we're moving in a positive direction. But
I know guys who are getting famous off of 6-second videos on Vine.
Yeah, that won't last. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It won't last, but it's actually happening.
Well, lots of things. There was a point at which Christians were being thrown to the lion. I mean, a lot of wacky shit happens. It's only about being able to control what we can control and then comment on the rest of it. You know, it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
What are you, Jewish, right?
half Jew, half wasp genetically.
How old are you?
39.
You're 39.
Yeah.
That's good. At least that was a test. At least LA didn't get to you.
Fuck out of here.
I know guys who fucking literally have lied to me about their age.
God.
All right, don't tell people.
Well, you have lost psychologically at that point. You've lost the game, you fucking goofball. Really? Are you lying about your age? Just suck a dick and get it over with, you fucking goofball.
Ah, shit.
Not that there's anything wrong with blowing a guy. It's a perfectly honest work, if that's what you're into. I'm just saying the guy we're talking about is denying it.
You've never fucking sucked a dick.
No, not my thing, you know. Again, I don't have a lot
of
judgment.
Was a pause?
Well, no, I was just thinking about, I didn't want it to come off as though if somebody had, I have any judgment for them. I don't.
Yeah, right. I don't need that. You know,
whatever you want to do.
It's so funny. When I grew up with these guys from Boston, Irish Catholic,
Italian. Yeah, I grew up in a junkyard, working class guys who, if you did that, you were a pariah.
Fucking faggy.
Of course. Yeah, that's exactly what I grew up with.
I'm so happy that my son's not going to grow up in that.
No.
Because I live in a gay building.
Yeah.
My whole building is gay people and artists and writers and all that shit. And, I mean, I'm moving. You want to buy my place? Funky one bedroom, 5 shower heads, bench,
a good time.
Brand new kitchen, up and downstairs.
Yeah, where is it? Midtown?
Midtown, Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Nice building. Like Tree Line Street, though. Not one of those high rises.
Yeah.
Funky building.
Yeah, maybe.
Put it on the market next week.
Yeah.
I'm out, dude.
You're out, yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You need
space. You want space for the kid. It's a different kind of operation you're running now.
Dude, I just bought a hunting knife, a custom built knife.
Oh, excellent. Good. I was going to ask you if you did that.
I'm into last year, me and my wife. Actually, was it last year or the year before? Last summer. Yeah. Because she wasn't pregnant yet. I knocked her up in, was it August or something? Whatever the fuck it was. My uncles have this house up in New Hampshire, up in the mountains.
Yeah.
And we went up there and we fucking, God, I mean, we went hiking.
Yeah, sure.
I remember
got the knife?
When I was, right. Yeah. When I was a juvenile delinquent.
Sure.
Believe it or not, they used to take us
juvies.
Huh? When you, there was bad juvie halls. There was good juvie halls. Mm-hmm. And when you were in the good ones, they'd take you on field trips it was called normalization.
Yeah.
They tried to normalize you. Yeah. The place you were in was a house.
Right.
Instead of a building.
Yeah.
They want in a neighborhood. So they want, you know, so they would take you to the mountains up in New Hampshire. It was like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And they'd go up on we just come down a mountain.
Yeah.
And I remember one time we came down, it was a 4,000 foot mountain and we went the wrong way down the backside.
Yeah.
And we found this lake 2,000 feet down.
Yeah.
And we stole a canoe.
There you go.
And
we'll let you animals out. I'll teach them. I remember you locked down in Florence Max with Gotti and the rest of them. 24-hour lockdown.
I remember we found this girl counselor crying on a rock halfway down the mountain.
Yeah.
And we were picking up dirt and leaves Indians and going this way. We didn't fuck it. It was with this Puerto Rican kid.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And
that's what I would have done.
Last year I found the trail.
Yeah.
And I went up it. And I took my fly rod.
Oh, that's cool.
And I went up to the and I found that lake. I hadn't been there since I was in juvie hall.
Weird, right?
And everything came back to me.
Yeah.
And it was this crazy hike, and it was really tough.
Yeah.
Kind of straight the fuck up.
Yeah.
We get up there, and it's this beautiful lake, 2,000 feet up this mountain on the backside.
Yeah.
And we walked around it, and I was like, I haven't been. I remember being right here.
Yeah.
I remember coming down this thing.
Yeah, emotional memory is interesting like that. I still don't go back to the junkyard for those reasons.
Really?
Yeah, it floods in.
Is it still there?
Yeah, the junkyard is. My house was paved over and turned into a strip mall parking lot. But
no shit.
Yeah, so it's even that much more depressing.
Jesus.
Yeah. But it's, emotional memory is strange like that, man. It'll hit you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, later in life, it's like, you know, the woods and shit like that I hated when I was a kid. I didn't hate it, but I was just
never connected to it at all. I visited Yosemite for the first time last month.
Really?
Yeah, I drove through. It was amazing. It was amazing. I really, really incredible up there. I don't know. I mean, I'm still not connected to it to the degree that I, you know, pitch a tent and really deal with it, but I appreciate it from a distance.
I want to live in the... I want trees, man. Mm-hmm. I went and looked at houses up in between the bridges.
It's very life-affirming.
it's like you're sitting there. I checked out this. I like the Brady Bunch houses, yeah. The contemporaries, mm-hmm. Sure. The 1950s and 60s. You know, yeah. Angles and windows
mod
and
stuff.
Yeah, weird. That weird
Silver
fucking.
Lake, a lot of houses like that in Silver Lake.
Yeah, like that 20 years of fucking weirdness that they. Yeah. The I love
yeah,
those
it
houses.
Was right after World War II, and then before like the 80s came in and all that prefab shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm in this backyard. This guy planted all these bamboo trees.
Yeah.
He's got this cool little path.
It's good. It's a good way to go, man.
And I'm like, this is it, man. Imagine coming the fuck home
yeah.
after a spot and pulling in your driveway
yeah.
and not having to spend 20 minutes looking for a fucking...
Well, I mean, I do.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You do now. But
yeah,
in New York, I'm just done.
No, I know. Of course, man. You've done. Been living here for forever.
And mm-hmm. you're on the other end. You want to come back and get on the streets again.
Yeah, I have to. I have to. Well, also, my mother lives here. My brother lives here. You know, it's like...
Well, your brother's an interesting guy, too. He's a counselor.
Yeah, he's a psychologist, yeah.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah. He used to compete in Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournaments, and he learned to speak Nepalese, went and walked around with monks, you know, also did a light swinging. You know, you got to...
A light swinging. It's yeah. fucked up. You gotta dude, you're crazy. You get this... And people see you, too, and they see your comedy, and you're out of your fucking mind on stage.
Yeah, maybe.
No. You're out of your fucking mind, I'm telling you.
I think I'm calming down.
You're crazy on stage, right? And then, but you're one of the, you're highly intelligent.
I don't know about that.
No, dude,
I've been
listen.
With a couple of girls that might argue that, but yeah, I mean,
well,
I think
I'm not saying that you're intelligent in relationship-wise.
No,
I'm talking about, you know, I mean, you're high, you know, you'll walk in with book with a fucking, you know, Asian face on it. And
yeah, but I remember even when I was thrown out of high school, you know, and right after my father died and I'm living in some shitty flat in Brooklyn, it was awful, you know, I was depressed out of my mind. I remember reading this philosophy books, you know, that that would help me sort of escape, you know. And so it just becomes part of whatever. And so, it's a place I enjoy going. I like thinking about shit. Maybe sometimes it's removing me from where I'm at emotionally, and maybe it's counterproductive in a number of ways.
I never got you in L.A. I remember
I never
when
got
you,
me there either. I didn't move there because I wanted to.
I remember I would see you in L.A. and I'd be like, I get it, but I don't get it.
Every day when I'm out there walking around in work boots in Venice, it doesn't make sense to me.
Dude, I remember I seen you out in front of the cellar with your fucking cup of black coffee.
Yeah, yeah. That's black coffee right there.
And your fucking tight, kooky shirt.
Yeah, man. It's home, and it's always been home, you know? And I, again, it was just work, man. You know, if you have an opportunity in a coal mine and you need to work, you go with this coal, you know? It's like shooting a show, and it made sense to go out there, and everybody's like, yeah, you got to stay. And then, you know, what do I know? And I stay. And
did the same thing to me, dude.
I know.
I did the same thing to me. You got to stay. I booked a show. I'm out. You got
to. And then everybody's like, when I wanted to go back, everybody's like, no, you got to stick it out. It's got to be a few years. You can't just come here for a year. You got to come here for 5 years. Like, you know.
It's bullshit.
Everything's bullshit. You know, it is, but it isn't. It's
it
like,
is bullshit. It's bullshit.
It's bullshit that you have to. You don't have to.
I know so many guys that are here that are actually doing work. And when they want you, you go there.
I know.
You know, and when you, there's guys that are New York that are fucking East Coast.
Yeah.
And there's guys that can do both. Yeah. And then there's guys that are L.A.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Dane, L.A.
No doubt about it.
Dane's an L.A. guy.
No doubt
he
about
came
it.
To New York, was here, and it was cool. But when he went to L.A., he hit a fucking stride. And, you know, Colin, fucking New York. Louis, New York.
Yeah.
Norton, New York.
I know.
You know, there's guys that went out there that are just, you know.
I know, no, it doesn't fit. It's
you're
never
definitely,
fit.
You're New York.
It's never fit for me, man.
So
it's
move just, the fuck back.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Get the fuck back. Buy my place. Let's go.
We'll take a look.
Come over. Take a look. Have a cup of coffee.
About,
meet the kid.
I was
kid.
Thinking about living. I'd like to do that, but I was thinking about I wasn't sure where I wanted to live.
Dude, my neighborhood.
I know I
back, you know what they call my neighborhood?
Clinton.
No. Helsey. The new Chelsea.
Yeah, the new Chelsea.
Dude, it's fucking crazy up there.
I'm staying on 58th Street right now. It's great. I walk down 9th Avenue going south. It's wonderful, man.
You should come over and meet the kid while you're in town.
All right.
During the day. See the place. Yeah. Even the building, even the neighborhood, just to know
I would actually like to check it out.
You should.
I have time on, on Friday or Saturday.
I'm around. I'm playing the Cellar all weekend.
Okay, great.
But, so you're back in New York. You're doing the Gotham Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And now what's next, dude? What are you doing next? What is your goal?
Oh,
Do you write your own stuff?
Of course, yeah.
All right, but you, so your scripts that you write, you sit down and
the
write.
The last two TV shows I did one with Neil Brennan for Showtime. We were in that contract for a year, and then that was from the ground up all the way through shooting, and then so was this with Things
I like
Fox.
Neil Brennan. I kind of clash with that guy
when I first met him.
Too.
We've had all kinds of sort of interpersonal shit, but you know, I mean, he's a good friend, but yeah, sure. I mean, listen, it's hard to meet a comic that you could sit in a room with for 8 hours at a clip and
Colin Quinn
choke somebody, man.
Quinn, I can. The only one, but you're absolutely right about that.
I love Colin, man. Yeah, I love Colin. I mean, you know, I don't know him in that context, but I know I love him.
So now you wrote your script with him, and who's the other guy?
Sure, no. But right now, what we're doing is I was working on a story when I was still here. It was called 4.5 Minutes, and it looks like we're going to come back and shoot it. I'm not going to be able to play the leads. Renee Zellweger and I think Ed Harris and somebody else. But my buddy, who was who's now Renee's partner, was my partner, and then he just took it over and wrote the screenplay, and then and so we're partners, and I have a good sized part, but they can't leverage me into
because
the lead right now, because you can't you won't the financing the leverage
no.
won't hold. It's so precarious. Even it's so funny what the acts the realities of this business are. There aren't but 7 people who can get a movie made, and only in specific genres usually. So, you know, you have to really strip down the budget. You know, I mean, if you can get a few million bucks, you know, even with big name, it's really, I don't understand enough about that business to go into it. I just know it's hard.
There's guys that get TV shows because they have, over 1 million Twitter followers. That
right.
comes into play.
Sure,
like they'll have
most
a guy
of them don't work, but I know what you mean. Yeah,
they'll be between this
it's
guy and that
like
guy.
It's almost like giving people a development deal because they did well at Montreal for 7 minutes and they have a nice smile. I mean, that business went out the window too.
Yeah.
It won't work. It won't hold. But they're reaching for anything, right? I mean, you know, a hit show now is 1/5 of the number of eyeballs it used to be, and you can't sustain people's paycheck. You can't sustain how much it costs.
There was 7 channels back then.
Precisely. Now that there's 500 or 200 or whatever there are.
And say 100 of them have good programming.
Precisely. So the competition is such that you can no longer afford to fund a $2 million an episode shows. There just aren't the number of eyeballs to watch it.
I cannot stop watching Duck Hunters.
Duck Hunters is a good show.
Actually,
you know what my two favorite shows are? 48 Hours, First 48.
Okay.
And Pawn Stars.
Porn Stars is great, but this is what I don't like about Porn Stars. You ready?
Right. Yeah.
I love those guys. Yeah. They're great, but then when they negotiate, I'm like, you're a cocksucker.
What do you mean?
He just said it's fucking 10 grand, and you're trying to give him two grand.
I know what that's like for just being in the used car business, in the junkyard. If I pay you anywhere near what the car's worth, I'll never be able to sell it and cover my overhead. So if it's worth 10 grand, in theory, at an auction, you got to wait 6 months to get there. You got to give 20% of your purse. You got to pay a bunch of taxes. It's not all fucking rosy.
Yeah, but all right, I'm coming from the other perspective.
No, I understand.
Makes me angry.
No, but it's not that way, because 10,000 is ideal circumstance. If you go to Sotheby's, you sign up, you pay your fees. It's all a mess to get that 10 grand, and then you're walking away with 7. If I give you 5 today in cash,
yeah, this cunt just got
a fucking walk.
He just got a samurai sword and fucking yeah, 3 G's.
But you know, you also lose money. Not to mention, you've got repairs, you've got a staff that's 50 grand a month.
Yeah, but
you've
got
overhead, you got insurance, you got any number of things.
But the poor lady's walking in, her fucking roots are coming in because she doesn't have enough cash. She lives
in
Vegas.
I know, but so the answer is to give her full price, and then you go out of business, and now everybody's hungry.
How's this? You don't give her full price, but pay her what you're supposed to.
You're supposed to pay 5 out of 10.
And they just did an episode where he walks into an antique show, finds a samurai hat for $300.
Yeah.
It's worth $2,500.
Okay, but
every
now and then that happens. Oh, you mean
he winds up telling him.
Well, he's an honest guy.
Yeah, no. Well,
he's one of the very few honest pawn people.
You know, you can't get in there, too. There's a line out the fucking
door.
I know.
I was in Vegas. I wanted to go. They're like, there's a line. There's ropes, you know.
I know the publicist for them. So next time you want to go, I'll give you her. Just call her. She's awesome.
I'd like to go in there.
But, I love that show. I love Travel Channel.
I like Bourdain. Yeah.
Well, he's gone.
I know.
He's on CNN.
And
I thought he was going to do a greater show. It's the same show.
He's doing the same show, but with less edge.
Yeah.
I know.
It's less edge.
I know. He's not drinking as much. So that was the fun thing about watching.
The last.
He was so not television presenter guy. You know?
The last season, what was the one, the new show that he did on Travel Channel last year?
Oh, that one. Yeah. But
Layover.
That wasn't a real show.
Yeah, but I'll tell you why it was a great show. He was fucking shit-faced.
Right, yeah.
10 minutes into the show,
yeah,
he's just shit-faced, staggering around.
Yeah, I enjoy that, yeah.
But yeah, I miss him.
Yeah, that was fun.
I love that. I love these. This is where you go crazy though, is that there's so many stupid shows. I saw the show on Netflix. What's the Homeland? The redhead, the star of Homeland.
I stopped watching it when it got too wacky.
I don't watch it at all.
I watched the first five
but
episodes.
But I saw it. I'm on Netflix. I see this sitcom called Life, starring the same lead guy. In the same guy about a guy who got a cop who got convicted of murder, went and did 10 years. They found out it wasn't him, DNA. Ooh. They let him out, gave him an undisclosed settlement of millions.
Yeah, sure,
now he's a detective, but he's learned so much about life. In jail, he's a badass.
He's a badass.
He became a super cop in jail for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, he's been on both sides of the fence.
Right.
Use all that knowledge and then go out and catch the bad guys with renewed vigor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then,
I
watched the whole two seasons. It was on for two seasons.
Yeah, I know.
And I
wrapped up.
Fucking gone. I'm in bed with the little, I have a plasma.
I know.
In front of my 5 inches in front of my face.
And that's all okay. But I mean, my thing is, man, when I get, when I'm in those spaces and I feel like I've really been trying to figure out how to just sit with myself, and I realize I got to get back into therapy because I always knew I could use more of it, but I never realized I needed it to the degree. And I feel like I have these empty things, man. Like it's like feelings of either worthlessness or whatever the feelings are. They come from these strange places that end up driving me in counterproductive ways, and I got to get to the bottom of it.
Well, you know what's weird about that is that, you know, I quit smoking 2 years ago now in August, and I said to myself, I'm done. This is it. I'm going to sacrifice. I need to quit smoking because I want to have a kid, and I'm not having a kid. So me and my wife both quit. I made her quit too. It was bad for her. We've been smoking since we were fucking 10.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal, man.
Okay? So now we quit, but then I put on fucking 60 pounds.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And now that I have this kid,
yeah,
I got to take it off, and it's been the hardest thing in the world last year trying to take this weight off.
Well, it's all connected to that stuff underneath. What did you learn in breaking away from the past like you did in the first place, you know?
What do you mean?
AA, all that stuff, you know? I mean, isn't that part of getting to the bottom of what made people want to do whatever in the first place, right?
It became my life. AA was my life for 5 years. That's how I quit drugs and alcohol.
Right.
And then quitting.
But don't you apply a similar set of sort of ideas,
I haven't.
Or beliefs, or?
I haven't because I don't think I... you know, I always say when you're done, you're done. When you're done doing something, you're done. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's...
Right, but when I used to go to AA dance once in a while with Rob Shapiro over on St. Mark's Place to try and meet girls because they were all hopped up on coffee and had, you know, whatever their bottoms were a lot worse than fucking me that night, you know? So they really had things in perspective. You could make a move over there. And you could feel... you could feel the compulsive sort of nature the in the air, right? So everybody's just kicking back soda and drinking coffee and all hopped up and... And I'm just saying that those personalities don't just disappear just because they stop, whatever.
It the food addiction is basically, you know, my anxiety comes out through food now because I don't have sex.
You don't have anything to fall back on.
I have no more prostitutions. Yeah. I got no more, you know, random
you're not doing
head.
Drugs, you're not drinking, yeah.
And, you know, I got it, but I
know.
It's like, how the fuck do I get a hold of
this?
Because I can't not. I cannot
nothing
fuck.
Solves
I cannot
it.
Fuck and live. I cannot smoke and live. Yeah. I cannot drink alcohol,
right,
do drugs,
you cannot
and live.
Eat ice cream.
I cannot not eat and live. So I have
right,
to eat.
Eat certain things.
I cannot exactly, but that's.
I know
that's the
hard.
Rub.
Yeah, it's the rub. Sure.
It's you know, I didn't have carbs or sugar for 3 months, and then I you know,
what was
some,
your experience of that?
It was terrible.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks.
But it didn't. Oh, for 3 weeks, and then after that, your
after,
body didn't crave it. In the same
after
way.
That, I didn't crave it, but it was the wrong thing to do.
What do you mean?
Because it is. It's not. It's not the carbs. It's not the sugar. Those are bad for you. I don't want to have Splenda,
right?
Because it's terrible chemicals.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to have
anything
breads.
In a bag or a box. It's all artificial.
It's
shit.
It's terrible. Yeah. So I'm you know, but I'm an addict.
Right.
I'm not eating. Carbs because I'm eating carbs until I fucking the pain goes
right,
away.
Right, right, right. It's all relative, right?
Yeah, it's like I can wake up and have a scone.
Totally.
I could have a piece of wheat toast.
Yeah, I understand.
Sure. I can have some.
Yeah, it's all about the degree to which you take it.
Yeah, like today I go to We go to Junior's, which I love. Times Square. If you're ever in Times Square, you want to go to a fucking good restaurant. It's just a great fucking diner.
Yeah, just old school good. Yeah.
Brilliant food.
Yeah, sure.
So are we there, and my wife, you know, this is what we're trying to do now is split food or have halves, you know. Yeah. So she gets I get the soup and the salad.
Sure.
And she gets a salad and a sandwich.
Yeah.
I get a soup and a sandwich. She gets a salad and a sandwich. Half sandwich. Okay, great. But then I got to order potato pancakes, sour cream. And she's pregnant. She has the kid. She's easy to break.
Yeah.
I'll fucking break her in a second. This chick is easy right now.
Like using buddies. Yeah,
man. Yeah, fucking... Right. Dude, can I just say something? Sure, yeah. It's like I feel bad because I'm fucking killing her too. Because I'll be like, oh, we should just get a pizza. It's easy.
Nice of enabling, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm
sure, yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. You know, that's like I envy you because
you might want to examine that more.
No, dude, I know you got issues. I know you got problems. I know you're fucked like me. You're fucked like the rest of us.
Yeah, sure.
But the one thing that you've never been fucked with was food. I don't even think I've seen you eat.
No, I mean, I eat plenty.
Yeah, but you don't have a food addiction.
Maybe not addiction. I mean, my demons just sort of tend to play out in other ways, you know.
Yeah. It's I just wish this food. I've had it my whole life, dude.
Yeah.
I remember the first fat I had in sixth grade. I remember I just got fat and then I lost it. And I remember the good feeling.
Kid.
I remember the good feeling when I lost it, all the accolades I got.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's some weird.
You mean the accolades having lost it being connected to something else that makes you want to eat?
The pain of, especially now being in the business and having some type of fame, the pain of people calling you fat on the internet or.
Why
you
is
know,
it painful?
It just hurts.
Why?
I don't know. It hurts because I don't want to be called fat. Would you? When someone calls you a fat fuck?
I don't know. I mean, it's just they're just describing what kind of fuck you are. You could be a skinny fuck too.
No, it's not. They're not going. It's not about the fuck part. Yeah. No, it's not. That's not the fuck part.
Doesn't bother you.
I don't mind the fuck part.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I don't mean the cocksucker part.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's you fat fucks.
I mean, ultimately, you just want to feel, you know, relatively optimal. I mean, you just want to go to a place where you're healthy.
Not yet. Look, dude, I get a lot of emails from guys. A lot of people listen to my show that are, you know, have food addictions. And a lot of guys, the help is there or the thing is there. I know what it is, but it's this one has been a tough one.
Of course it is.
I've lost weight a lot of times, and I'm so sick of it.
You've given up so many of the other things that you could have turned to. So of course this is good. It's going to be exaggerated. The anxiety, the struggle.
Yeah, this is the last one. I mean, this is the last. I mean, I've conquered a lot of shit.
I know.
And here I am.
Yeah.
You know, I searched for a father figure my whole life.
Right. Yeah.
And now I'm the dad.
Right.
And now here I am. And I'm, you know, I bent down to pick up my kid and I almost passed out.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah. No, that's certainly incentive and a reason to do it. Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm fucking, my knee hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 42.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
And I could cry sometimes. Seriously, man. I get emotional thinking about all the opportunities that I might have missed because of my addiction, my physicality. You know,
because
you know this. Nah, dude, I know for a fact.
You're a good-looking guy, so maybe you could have played that sort of angle. You know, the whole idea.
Yeah, if I was,
you know,
if doing I look,
the thing. But a lot of guys could have missed the same opportunities had they not been heavy. You know.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing is I'm not a fat guy.
But that
guy.
Wasn't you. Yeah, I understand.
If
I
was,
what you mean. I know what
if,
you mean. Sure.
If I was a fat guy, if I was you know that guy,
right? If Brad Pitt's 80 pounds, it hurts his career. You know, if Artie Lang is thin as a bird,
they call an ambulance.
You know, nobody, sure. You know, I mean, you know, it's all relative, right?
Well, yeah, it never ends though. I mean, we're always
but
doing
it's that
this
void, right? I mean, that's how do we get inside of that darkness in such a way that we can acknowledge it never goes away, but to acknowledge it in a way that you can live with it and it doesn't feed these self-destructive kind of scenarios or parts of our personality. Like, how do you get there?
Yeah, it's almost like I feel like if psychologically I accepted it, like this is who I am and I'm okay with that, that maybe I'd go away. You know what I mean? Maybe I just wouldn't do it anymore.
Right. Like, accept. Like, no, but I'm at the place where you're like, I got a hole. There's some hole inside, and I accept it. I just don't know how to, I don't know how not to let it affect me to the degree that I'm hanging out later than I should be or doing whatever. It's like, you know, it's not an addiction, but if you're hanging out late at night after a show, because you can't just go back to your room. Your energy levels are such that I can't go back and stare at the wall. And TV is not going to get me back in that room.
Right.
So you take a couple of drinks, hang out with some girl, and then and you've been alone for 3 days, you know, and she's got a little bit of blow. Before you know it, you're up. Say the next day you get a radio, no sleep, you feel like shit. And I mean, it's never been a problem for me, and that thing spiral out of control. I understand it's not an addiction, quote unquote, but you want to live it in an optimal way, and you just feel like these dark parts of yourself. Are there any guys who's around? Is Tom Pop an example of somebody who's able to just go home, or is he hiding something?
Yeah, dude, I'm still waiting to catch him making out with a dude in a vestibule. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm still waiting to like go to a peep show and fucking the window goes up and it's him.
I mean, he's definitely pulled off the family man guy in a way that's seemingly more effective than other people have been able to do.
He is a family man, though.
Right,
I mean,
and maybe that's the way. Yeah, that's the way he's built. You know, and God bless.
Yeah, he's that way. I mean, look, Norton, us. Colin, us. Keith, us. I mean, pretty much everybody we know.
Right. But I can't. That's the problem. I can't think of any examples of people who've been able to really.
Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld's maybe an example of that.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else.
Yeah.
I think it's.
But the problem is, I mean, you're whipping through 100 names, and if all you can come up with is two, and they're maybes, you know, it's like, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, dude.
I
don't know. I mean, I don't think that. I don't know if we could do what we do. The comedy is you know.
Right.
I mean,
there's no doubt about it. I'm just wondering if you could limit the thing. You know,
it's literally philosophizing.
But maybe we have limited it. You know,
we're limited it.
We're not in the gutter. You know,
first,
maybe we have limited it.
Yeah.
There's been a
limit. We've limited it, dude. Seriously.
So now it's about fine tuning.
If this was the '80s, me and you'd be dead.
Ooh, it'd be a problem.
We'd be dead.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we'd be dead.
Oh yeah.
We'd both have AIDS.
Yeah.
We'd have AIDS and track marks and fucking we'd be in methadone clinics. It would be a wrap. We're lucky that somehow we're lucky that Reagan and Stop Drugs and they made.
We're lucky Len Bias died.
We're lucky that crack wasn't in.
Exactly. I mean, once. I mean, because we're lucky that crack kicked in when it did, because that's when the laws got harsh and everybody was like, wait a second, this shit is unhealthy. Before that, it was just a party snap. And you're fucking walking around and everybody's high. You go back into the room at the Comedy Store, the whole thing's black lacquer and mirrors. This shit was built for it.
How many blowjobs have you got in the cellar?
In the cellar?
Yeah.
No, not many, man.
Really? How many?
No,
two?
A couple
three?
Hand jobs on the table and a little head in the closet.
The closet.
Yeah, I got it.
But nothing
for real.
I got head from two girls, white girls, both who had dreadlocks.
Oh, man.
Same night.
That's excellent.
Same night.
Wait a second. Hold on. Not at the same time?
Not at the same time.
They were two different girls?
Two different.
And they weren't together and they
listen
both had
to me.
Dreadlocks?
Two different girls, white, dreadlocks. Okay.
Different people,
didn't know each other.
That's incredible.
Suck my dick.
I don't think that's ever happened to anybody else ever.
Same
that
night.
That was Bob Marley, and one of them was black.
in that closet. So weird, and
that's
so
amazing.
The odds are crazy that I almost told the second girl, do you know? Can I just tell you something? Real quick while you're sucking my
dick.
Believe
it or not, you're not going to believe this. I got to share it with somebody. You're not the first dreadlock chick to suck my dick in
tonight.
This hallway. Tonight. Yeah, with white skin, no less. No, it's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
I mean, if you had to pick a number, what would your number be? I think my number would be sexual experiences. Not fucking. Sexual experiences. I would have to say 500.
Oh, more than that.
Whoa.
And not in a good way. I mean, more than that in an unhealthy way.
I don't think it's... I mean, look, you don't have... You don't have AIDS and herpes. Or you don't have AIDS.
My father died of AIDS.
Did he really? Your father died? You're telling me that an hour and 12 minutes in?
Yeah, my mother's HIV positive, too.
Wait a minute, dude. Stop. Slow the fuck down, dude. What the fuck kind of... wait a minute, dude. Listen to me, brother. Seriously. Your father... had AIDS.
Yeah.
And your mother's HIV positive from your dad.
No.
From somebody else.
Mm-hmm. It's highly unusual, I know.
Wow. Yeah. And how did your dad get AIDS?
It's like the reverse of the lottery. Well, he was with guys.
He was with guys.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, man, but like he was a guy in a junkyard, you know, that dealt with all. So to find out that with him it was like, you know, it was not, we didn't live in the fucking village. You know, that was not acceptable shit.
Where in Jersey?
In a junkyard.
No, but north
where Springsteen grew in that factory town, and then south of New Brunswick, like towards
right.
Jamesburg, like towards right. Englishtown.
Right,
like,
okay, yeah.
But But I was, you know, my best friend was a Puerto Rican kid from Harlem, and I spent a lot of time here with his family because I was, you know, my father, they moved out. I was, you know, from the time I was 15, I was in my...
Where'd my your mother go?
Highland Park, outside, across the bridge from New Brunswick. If you get off the train in New Brunswick, it's about...
So your mother
left,
you guys, did you leave when he had AIDS? Or did you leave when he found out that he was with dudes?
I didn't find out. No, he moved out when I was 12. But I didn't find out until I was, right before he died, he told me, he goes, but I couldn't tell anybody, you know? So I wasn't allowed to tell anybody. So it was right. Just, you know.
So he said, look, I'm dying of HIV.
Yeah. When I was 21, he died.
And you were like, how did you get it? Or did he come out with it? Him. How did he, who told you he I was with know. Dudes?
Oh, my mother and my mother.
And then
I kind of knew at some point as I got older.
Really?
Yeah.
And did that, I mean, when he was dying of HIV, I mean, was that, when did he die? What years?
Like 94. He was probably dead by.
Jesus. So that was like when AIDS was still
well,
hot.
It's when it hit. It's hot. Yeah. You know, he would, I remember. Oh, AIDS was hot back then.
AIDS was on the top fucking 10.
You know, he was top of the charts. I mean, you're talking about, he was a popular guy.
Yeah. It was cancer and AIDS. We're fighting it out.
Yeah. It was like Michael Jackson and The Who.
I love that you picked two different styles of music.
I couldn't figure out anybody else.
That's fucking
looking
great.
Around the room.
Because they're two different diseases.
So totally different.
Yeah. Who's the? I would think that The Who would be cancer.
Would be cancer. And Michael
Jackson. AIDS, right?
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. He's definitely AIDS.
So I mean, you found out he had AIDS when AIDS was AIDS.
Yeah, man. Crazy. He wouldn't let me drink from his cup because he didn't.
They didn't know.
Nobody knew.
Fuck.
You know, so it got real weird. Yeah, it's not like now.
Did he know how he got it?
Well, you know, you start fucking guys. I mean, you don't have to be a detective that spent 10 years in prison to figure that out.
All right, let me ask you a question, sir.
Yeah. Do you have any idea? Were you playing the guitar of somebody that also was HIV positive? Did you share an instrument with a guy I knew
I
named Herbie?
That, but I fucked this guy in the ass without a condom 17 times.
Yeah, whether or not this is what it could have been.
In a junkyard in dirt.
Yeah. I was hopped up on coke at a bathhouse. Do you think that might have had something to do with it?
Yeah, I'm glad. Dude, I tell you this, though. I'm glad I didn't grow up in the fucking 80s. Yeah. When they had all that creepy shit going on in New York, like the vault and these in the meatpacking.
Being gay at that time?
Could you imagine?
Would you not get AIDS?
Could you imagine being on the edge of gay?
Oh my god!
I would have sucked a dick.
Yeah.
I would have sucked
How
a
could
dick.
You not? It's all around you. Listen,
a nice wet cobblestone street.
I would. Yeah, I mean, even if you don't like vegetables, you grow up next to a cornfield. At some point, you're gonna nibble. At some point, it's gonna happen. You're gonna try and ear a corn. It's not your fault. You grew up in a cornfield.
So your father passes away, and how did your mom get it? I mean, how did
she
that
went out
happen?
With some guy, I guess he was.
I didn't know that. I mean, I know your mom. I met your mom a few times.
Is this
recent?
5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Jesus,
but she's doing well, you know.
Because AIDS now,
have, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, they cured AIDS. I mean, that's what they said.
They cured AIDS, but they didn't cure HIV, and so you still have to get monitored, and you got to have your blood tests all the time. And then if you're single, it's like, you know, it's still not fun to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying AIDS is fun to have.
No, I was responding to the idea of having cured it. It's like, there is it to a degree.
Dude, let's
go
get AIDS.
Nobody, exactly. It ain't what it used to be. Follow me uptown.
Dude, I got an AIDS house.
Yeah, exactly.
So your mom's okay, though?
Yeah, she's okay. She's good, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not. I mean, they get it to where the medication and it doesn't
affect.
Yeah, no,
she leads a full life. Yeah,
your mom's a pretty woman.
Right.
I mean, she's young. Jesus Christ. I didn't mean, dude, I didn't mean.
Well, yeah, that's how she got it. No,
believe me, I don't want AIDS. You're fine.
No, it's a crazy game out there.
Wow, it's just a weird, the odds of that. It's almost as great as the odds of me getting blown by two fucking white dreadlocks.
White chick with dreadlocks.
I think those are the same odds.
No, I know. It's like I grew up in Kenya, but I didn't, you know. It's like, just the odds are very thin, you know.
Yeah, and is the guy that she got him from, he's dead?
Yeah.
Jesus, how did he die of AIDS?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
What a fucking crazy life you got, man.
Oh,
I mean,
not
in a bad way,
life,
dude,
you know?
But the color of your life, the
try you to know? Put the pieces, you know, the bit together as best you can.
You should
know?
Be more fucked up than you are.
Give me time, buddy. Give me time. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I met a chick with dreadlocks. Give me a little bit of time.
I mean, you took. Yeah. There's something to be said about your mom or your brother and who you are, and maybe even your father, that you turned out the way you did. You and your brother, too. Because
yeah, sure.
Look,
it could have been a lot worse.
Look, yeah. Look, we all have our own fucking things, and we all survive a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not that it could have been worse.
Yeah.
It's that the effects that it had on you,
yeah.
and what you did with it, and where you went. Yeah, you got your problems, and you got your own shit to deal with.
Yeah.
But you know, they threw you in the fucking dryer, and you came out kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know
still
what I mean?
A little wet though. Still
yeah,
wet.
You're fucked up. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, dry for the most part. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah,
and you know, yeah. and to you know, because me, you're like me too. I mean, I love comedy, but I love acting yeah. too. I love to, you know, and you're a great actor.
You know, you just get to experience different. I mean, I don't know.
That's where your fucking acting comes
stuff,
from.
You know, you experience.
That's where your good acting comes from.
Well, it's also, you know, there isn't an emotional relationship in stand-up. You can have an emotional relationship with the material and feeling the feelings when you're saying the words, but there's not a back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a different kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I mean, you know, these are why I love doing these shows like this, too, is that you get into, you know, you hear some shit. I like hearing stuff like that and knowing that you're all right and your mom's all right
yeah.
and you know, you guys are still... You're doing all what you're doing great, and you're still that shit devastates some people. Some people fall apart, and it takes years to get their shit back together.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I could see. You know, you dive into a bottle or whatever. You know, I mean, listen, this is a big part. This is a thing with a lot of, you know, millions and millions of people in the country. It's like you fucking get hit with something, and then if you don't see your way through it, you know, without, you know, if you combine that with addictive personality and some other shit, you know, you could have a tough time.
Yeah, it's a fucking. I'm telling you, man. I'm looking at my kid now, and I'm looking at him like, Jesus, man, all I want to give you is self-esteem.
Totally.
I want you to just feel good about yourself.
Totally. No doubt.
I don't care who you become personally, gay, straight, tough, whatever the fuck you do. I don't care. I just want you to have good self-esteem.
No doubt about it.
I want you to care about yourself.
If you're filling holes regardless of what you become, you're going to be a mess, man. It always ends badly if you're doing that.
Dude, our fucking generation, too. It's like, you know, we're breastfeeding now, you know,
yeah,
and it's like now everybody's back into breastfeeding.
Right,
you know, like
yeah.
you should breastfeed. It's better for the kid, and it is. It's better for, it's the way.
It sounds natural.
Well,
nobody had a bottle 800 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, for most of human existence.
Yeah, 98%, 99% of it, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
People shot babies out in dirt.
Yeah, they shot them out in dirt. You shot as many out as you can. You married
into fucking
15.
Elephant dung.
Yeah, yeah,
and then you put them on your fucking dragging tit.
Yeah, you put them on one of those.
The nipple that has fucking just dried up from being in the sun.
Yeah.
Because nobody had bras back then.
Yeah, look,
you know,
it's
and
like
then
half an apricot slice, you know, just hanging down. You nibble away, and you get the nourishment.
Yeah, you put her on that fucking Brazil nut you call a nipple.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and then
like the old Subways, they hung those leather straps.
And then you know, but our generation didn't. I was talking to my mom and all these women are like, they didn't breastfeed. It was gross.
Yeah.
It was gross to, you know,
sure,
women,
right.
American women.
Bottles. Yeah.
It was disgusting. You put them on a bottle and that's it. And
get away from that natural organic thing. You see what's happened even with our diet here, you know. It's a first world country that could afford to educate people on what to eat, but there's no money to be made in just telling them to eat broccoli, you know. It's like you got to continue to manufacture
shit. I remember they made the light bulb and the engineers that made one of the first light bulbs, it lasted for years.
Yeah.
And they went back. They go, no, go design it that it dies.
Well, how are we
going
to make money if it works for 10 years?
It's
no money to be made. It's like when you're in a capitalistic system, there's no money in just going, hey, here's how you don't get sick. You know what I mean? There's no money in that.
Yeah.
There's no money in preventative medicine, which is why everybody waits until it's too late. And then they have to cut it out or get a surgery for $100,000.
I look at my kid crying and I try to tell my wife, it's not personal.
Yeah.
I see these people, ooh, come on, it's okay. Hey, you know what? He's crying because he doesn't speak fucking English.
Yeah,
he doesn't know how to go, hey, I just shit myself. I pissed in my, and it's chafing on the inner leg.
Yeah,
can you please change this?
Exactly.
He doesn't know how to,
he doesn't know how to do that.
He knows how to go, wah, and then you burp him, no.
Yeah.
You feed him, no, motherfucker.
Process of elimination, two things ain't it.
My asshole's burning.
Yeah, here we go.
So it's, you know, and I look at this guy and it, the, oh, fuck, I know I'm going to fuck up. I know I'm going to fuck up. I know I'm going to fail.
Yeah, yeah, no, but if the, if you raise him and you love him right, then when you fuck up, it's repairable.
I'm going to love this kid into gayness. I am going to, let me tell you, man.
That's a great premise.
I am going to love this motherfucker. Yeah, 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 yeah. So I, you know. I'm looking at him now like, dude, the one thing you're going to know about your dad is that he loved you.
Right.
He fucking loved you in a, I don't give, in a female way.
Yeah.
I'm not loving him guy way. Hey, kid, come here.
No, you know, love is love. You know, you do the best you can.
Well, I was brought up with that shit. Come here. You know I love you, fucking stupid.
That's worked so well for the generations of alcoholics and violent, you know, offenders that it's produced. Yeah, that's worked real well.
That's not happening.
No.
You know, if my kid's gonna fucking,
he's gonna be gay. If I have anything to say about it, my kid,
that's
be
the
gay.
Worst thing. If I just see him sucking your dick someday,
yeah, that's right. That's
Bob, what are you gonna do, Bob? What are you gonna do?
Love me. I didn't know he was yours.
He's a cute kid.
He's got a beautiful head of hair. Are they dreadlocks?
Yeah, I always knew I liked your lips.
Yeah, that's right. Your father had lips, but before him, his father probably had beautiful lips.
All right, listen, man, we gotta wrap this up. Okay, you gotta go. But right. First of all, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, of course, man.
I'd love you to come on. If you move back, first of all, I want you back in New
York. I
want to
move back.
Get the fuck back here.
I'm trying to move back. Man.
Come look at my house Friday.
Okay.
Look in the neighborhood at least.
I want to look.
A lot of great people. Bill Dawes has a place that two houses down. All right. Nice talking to you.
I want to look. No, really. I want to look.
But I want you to, if you guys, please check out, what's your Twitter and all this stuff? What's your website?
DOVLive.com. And then, you know, Twitter is just my name, @DoveDavidoff. Come check me out, man.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, at Gotham. Oh, if it's up tomorrow, I'm at Gotham.
It's not going to be up tomorrow.
Okay.
But you know what I will do? I want to make sure. If you
tweet it, maybe
I'm going
to. Manhattan's a tough place to draw.
It is
Gotham this week.
It is, dude. But you know what? Gotham's a great club because a lot of people show up anyways.
Okay. Good.
Because they have such a great reputation.
Great.
They have a great mailing list that a lot of people show up. So absolutely, I'm going to tell people. I'm going to tweet it out right the fuck now.
Great, thanks.
I want to follow you on Twitter. Yeah. It's, what is it again?
Just @DoveDavidoff.
@DoveDavidoff.
Yeah, DoveDavidoff.
DoV.
DavidOff.
DAV.
IDOFF.
IDOFF.
Yeah.
I got it right now. I'm going to tweet it out right the fuck now.
Thanks,
you guys follow DoveDavidoff. He's one of the most interesting guys out there. He's hilarious. He's a great actor. Fucking and a great looking guy. Ladies, if ladies
girl.
Used to like me, if, I know I fucking disappointed you. Please move over to the new and improved.
New improved Bobby.
But thanks for coming on, dude. When you move back or when you're back in the city.
Yeah.
Just come on, dude. I want you on the regular show on Monday with everybody else.
I appreciate it.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, buddy.
Bye. All right, so that's the one-on-one with DoveDavidoff. I love doing these shows. I hope you guys like them, too. Please, if you do, email me at ykwd@riotcast.com. Make sure you follow Dove on Twitter, @DoveDavidoff. He's one of the funniest guys out there right now. So make sure you go to his shows and support him, and make sure you tell him you heard him on the YKW Dude podcast when you do. So appreciate it again. We'll see you next Monday, and thanks for listening.
You know what?